As I mentioned with the children, Jesus has come from the dizzy heights of the mountain where he was transfigured. Transfigured before the very eyes of Peter, James, and John. And it was the next day. And there are in Luke's story some incidents that accentuate the deep nature and the costly nature of Jesus' messianic mission. And it also highlights as well the deep inadequacies of the people around him to understand the nature of this mission. And our text precedes it. These are little discourses all woven together, but it's headed by our text, and our text is this. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Scholars tend to agree that this text represents a major shift in the gospel, in this gospel of Luke. Jesus' ministry in rural Galilee ends, and he now sets his sight on Jerusalem to meet his fate. It is literally a crossroad in the story. It's here, and now it's there. But what does he set his face mean? It seems to suggest a resolute determination. All the stuff that we talked about with the children. And the reading of the Greek seems to confirm that. But does it represent something more? Something else? Remember that the people reading and hearing the story are living post the time of the destruction and devastation of Jerusalem. So Jesus turning his face toward Jerusalem would mean something very important for them. They know what happened. Not just about the cross, but they know about the devastation. And two, in the Old Testament, the expression setting his face can mean judgment, devastation. Isaiah 50, Ezekiel 6 too, and on, particularly Ezekiel. There are all of these texts. And so there is some thought that our text in Luke, Jesus setting his face to Jerusalem, means not just a kind of holy determination, but it carries this deep warning of an impending doom for what is about to face, Jerusalem is about to face. And then there is this strange thread inserted by the writer, and it's only in Luke, it seems, about this cohort of messengers who were sent ahead to a village, a Samaritan village. And that the people of this village didn't receive this cohort, that they didn't want to embrace Jesus. And the answer is given, why not? The answer is given because he set his face to Jerusalem. What does that mean? It makes no sense. It makes no sense because the idea of the direction Jerusalem is about judgment and devastation, then why would that, for the enemies of Israel, be troublesome? They would applaud that. They'd welcome Jesus, wouldn't they? We don't really know, save this, that they are nervous about Jesus, the Samaritans. They're uncertain about this journey to Jerusalem and what it will mean for them. And so they want nothing to do with him and this venture, this journey. And the writer seems to infer that this choice is a mistake. This choice is a mistake because later in chapter 10, even though he rebukes the sense of violence organized or planned by the disciples in our text, later on in chapter 10, when Jesus dispatches another cohort, he tells them that it will be more tolerable on that day for Sodom than those in those towns who do not receive you. Leaving that to one side, setting his face to Jerusalem most likely means both the determination of Jesus to set his mind toward his goal and judgment for that to which he heads. And it may be true that whenever we determine to follow a course of action, there is both the required focus and conviction, the perseverance, the determination that we all talked about just a moment ago, and often too a corresponding cost that we must always take into account. But go we must. Jesus knows that he heads to a place where he will most likely die, but he still sets his face toward Jerusalem. Jesus knows that he heads to a place where there will be pain and ridicule, but still he sets his face to it. Jesus knows that Jerusalem will bring deep existential anguish. Take this cup, Father. Why have you forsaken me, Father? Has this been all to no avail? This is not what I really intended. But still he sets his face to it. Let me dwell on this, though. Something happens for Jesus in this crossroad for him. He's been up in this mountain, scaled these dizzy heights, as I said, and he's come down, he's been transfigured. Something happens for him where he says, not there, not here, but there. That's where I'm going. This is where I must go. It is the end point of his time in Galilee. And now, determinedly, intentionally, he sets his face to Jerusalem. You all know, life brings challenges. And sometimes they might be challenges born out of tragedy, or they might even be the slow building of something that we can't resist anymore, any longer. Whatever they might be, there will be in the midst of those times a question for us about what we will do and where we will head. Our own Jerusalem. And whether we set our face to it. So this morning, what would that be for you? What grips you? What burns within you? What calls you, even though you know it will carry a cost? In the gospel story, the picture we have of Jesus in sending out the disciples toward the world is that he knew not only that for which he would encounter and did encounter, but what his disciples would encounter as well because of their conviction. He knew the world was hostile, where they would confront the recalcitrance of political officials and the intransigence of the protectors of the status quo. He knew that he would meet cold and forthright people, hardened by the long winter of traditional or national or sectarian interests. And so he told them, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." And he gave a formula for action. When they headed out toward their own Jerusalem, he said this: "Be therefore wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. Be tough in mind and tender in heart." What is it that burns deep within you that looms as your Jerusalem is the question I'm asking you. Be tough in mind, but tender in your heart. And your Jerusalem may not be a city. It may not even be something that you want to achieve as a life goal. It may be something you know deep within that you must face and have avoided for so long. And it tugs you and it pulls you, but it surely beckons you just as surely as Jerusalem tugged and pulled and lured Jesus. So what do you do? Fork in the road. Procrastination comes to mind. Avoidance too, perhaps. But deep down we know that one day we must set our face to it. And deep down we know that it will require focus and determination and a cost. But in the end, we must take responsibility for it. 2 books have remained on my round desk in the office for nearly a year. Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl, and a book fashioned about his discovery of hope from the trenches of the Holocaust, Finding New Meaning in Life. Viktor Frankl's observations of a particular time and place have a universal relevance. His conclusions, I believe, can serve as a kind of moral guide for all of us setting out toward our own Jerusalems, whatever they might be for you. He says this: "In spite of all the enforced physical and mental primitiveness of the life in a concentration camp, it was possible for me to find and deepen my spiritual life." Frankl, you see, throughout his life, sought to explain all of that and the wellsprings of making decisions for ourselves and taking responsibility to act on them. He says, "We are all self-determining with the ability to decide what our existence will be and what we will become in the next moment. The power to choose is always with us. Everyone," he says, "has their own specific vocation or mission that calls them in life to carry out a concrete assignment which demands fulfillment." And he even talked about this, that he said that, "Well may you know the Statue of Liberty nestled in the harbour of New York City. But perhaps it should be supplanted and changed to a statue of responsibility. All of us," he said, "must choose our own way, and all of us must decide to take the journey to it." And then this, which is possibly what he's well known for: "Live, therefore, as if you were living the second time, and as though you had acted the first time wrongly, as you are about to act now. What calls you? What burns within you that is your Jerusalem that awaits? You can avoid the call. You could, like the Samaritan and the Samaritan village, become overcome with fear, uncertainty, and that you decide, I'm going to go back. I'll have nothing to do with this trip, and I'll have nothing to do with Jesus. In all gentleness, that might be a mistake. What is the Spirit saying to you that if you had your life a second time, you can do now? Where must you set your face? It will be costly, but it is right. It might be dangerous and destructive even, but it is the call of the Spirit that beckons you, and you know it because it's deep within. And so, today, may you find the conviction of heart, the strength of mind. May you be wise as serpents and harmless, kind as doves, tough in mind and tender in heart, to make the changes that you must, and to set your heart finally toward that which you may or might have put off for so long, to set your face to Jerusalem. For there, deep meaning and joy awaits. And know this, as I said to the children, know this. Your journey not alone.